Book, amen. Your song of faith. If anybody needs one, does anybody need a song of faith? Anybody? Okay. Listen, I want to obey the Lord in this meeting, and I don't want to be in the way, certainly. We've got things planned out, but if the Lord wants me to say something, I want to say something. And as I was praying, as I was getting down to pray, the Lord brought to my mind when I was, just before God saved me and I was lost, how that I knew God was dealing with me and how that I was able to respond to Him. In prayer at the altar, and to get down and pray just the best way that you know how. Well, I wound up getting saved. I thank God that I got saved. And the Christian life. Listen, this is for you, young people that are saved, young in the Lord. Your walk of faith to do the Lord's will, to be able to hear the Lord's voice. Listen to what I'm saying. You're taking one step at a time in your Christian walk, and you're wanting to know that you're doing what God would have you to do. And the way to do that is listen to what God's Word says. Listen to what the men of God, your pastor, your teachers, are saying. And, learn what it is that, other Christians should be doing. Just like praying in the altar, and if you're able, get in the altar and pray. That's only going to help your Christian walk. That's going to help your walk of faith. That's going to help you draw closer to the Lord. When you hear them talk about, cherishing your Bible, then you begin to cherish that. And begin to read that, and love God's Word, amen? And begin to take God's Word as your authority. See, you're taking these steps of faith. You're just walking by faith and learning to do His will. And you'll begin to grow in the Lord, amen? If you'll do that, just the things that you hear around in God's house, out of your church leaders, amen. You'll hear people testify of things that God did for them, and they're biblically. And so you just begin to do those things too. You begin to follow the Lord, and the Lord will help you with that. And I just wanted to encourage you in that to. In your walk of faith, no matter how young you are, if you're saved, you're old enough to be walking for the Lord. Amen. And the Lord will show you, and He'll show you how to listen to His voice. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Josh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I enjoyed that good congregational singing. Amen. I was actually thinking about that verse. This hymn in verse number 2 said, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. The Bible talks about a person's spots. Being changed or not being able to change, but the blood of Christ can change the spots on the sinner. Amen. He sure can, and I'm glad of that. He makes a new creature out of us, a whole new creature, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that. You look that up, I believe that's in Proverbs about the spots being changed on that animal. I think he's, in fact, it's been a while since I've read it. You know, that's how they're born. That's, you know, if you're born with those spots, I mean, that's, you got them. But the Lord, that's why he makes a new creature out of us. Amen. And he can change a dog that wants to return to its vomit into a whole new creature. It's not the dog anymore. And the sow that was washed from her wallowing turned to the mire. Well, he has to make a whole new creature out of it so that it don't go back to the mire. And that's the way with me and you. He has to make a new creature out of us so that we don't go back to the same old life that we lived before God reached down and spoke to us. Amen. Thank the good Lord. Well, all right. Y'all going to get the young people up here?
Good evening, everybody. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 1. I want to say the reason I chose those two songs for us to open up tonight is I feel like those two songs are very important for someone of youth. First thing you need to know is I'm not going to hell. Second thing you need to know is that you're so blessed. And the more you get that, the better off you're going to be. James chapter number 1, verse number 19. Keep a finger there, and I'll just read John chapter 3, verse number 30. A few weeks ago, I preached on letting him increase. And I want to... Lord's led me to preach the second point of that tonight. But John chapter 3, verse 30, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So I was preaching on letting him increase. What do we do to decrease so that he can increase in our lives? And we got over to James chapter number 1. And we read through verses 1 through 18, and we talked about how we needed to have endurance. So we don't change our direction once we get into verse number 19 very much. But with the point of endurance, we saw that there is a number of trials, tribulations, and temptations that life's going to bring against us. And that endurance, you got to be someone that's like running a race. A runner has to condition themselves to have the stamina and endurance to run the length they have to go. So if I were trying to run a 5K, what you would find is me about halfway down the course passed out on the side of the course. Well, that's because I haven't conditioned myself to run a 5K. I can walk 3 miles with no problem, but running those 3 miles would be difficult because I've never conditioned myself. So we saw in endurance, to run our race, we have to condition ourselves through patience, through prayer, and the gaining of wisdom to be able to have the endurance we need. Now we come into verse number 19, and that's where I'll begin reading. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, tonight I want to deal with the second point that I see through here, and that is that we need to be not only to have endurance, but we need to be established. And I think this is a good message for young people because you have to be, before you can do anything for Christ, you have to be established. You have to be firm within the church, firm within His Word, firm within growing toward Him to be able to do anything for Him. So the word established has a couple of definitions, but all of them have the same gist. It's a word to show something is made firm or to introduce and cause to grow and multiply. So in our lives, we must be firm in our beliefs, firm in His Word. We have to grow in that. So what pops in my head when I think of something growing but firm is a tree. A tree has strong roots that continue to grow over time, and those roots keep the tree firm. So going back to our verse, John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. So looking at the tree, it's burrowing in. It's getting lower. It's going deep. So as we get lower, He gets higher and bigger. So a Christian who is growing in God's Word and way is building strong roots. So what comes through is big and beautiful. If a tree does not have healthy, strong roots, that tree is going to die. It does not produce any leaves or fruit. For a healthy tree to come down, you can't dig it up from the roots. A tree can only come down by being affected from the outside world. A storm can cause a weak tree to fall, or a man can cut it down. A Christian who is weak in faith can fall in a storm, or men try to cut the Christian down. So we must have our roots, our faith strong in Him. We need to be grounded in His Word and growing in His way. So as a sub-point, I'm keeping with the letter E, but I see in the verses 19 through 21 that the first step toward being established is emancipation. So emancipation is the process of being set free and being liberated. So an even better word that doesn't start with an E is salvation. That's the first step. Verses 19 through 21, I'll read it again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So verses 19 through 21 signify the change from the old creature to the new creature. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So He's saying, lay aside your disgusting sin. Lay aside your constant disobedience and receive the engrafted word. Lay aside your sin and put the Lord in its place. Replace the bottle in your hand and put the Bible. Replace the curse words with the gospel message. Replace the bar with the church. A change is made when salvation takes place. Even as a good person who goes to church, there's going to be an evident change. You're going to have a change in attitude. You're going to have a change in your aspirations. You're going to have a change in your affectations. And you're going to have a change in your affection. Psalms chapter number 1, and we'll turn over there real quick. I'm going to try to fly through everything I got tonight. Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the ungodly are not so, but are like a chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalms chapter 1, those who delight in God and His Word, those who meditate on it day and night, they are that tree that I was talking about. Those who are saved are the trees planted by the rivers of water. That rivers of water he's talking about is God. Those who have not been saved are the ungodly in verses 4 through 6. The ungodly are like a chaff or a seed that is caught in the wind. They're being drove every which way. They are not established, but rather going wherever the wind takes them. A sinner goes through life without direction. Only God can give true direction to a man or woman's life. There are so many people in this world today that they're looking for direction and purpose in their life, and they can't find it. Why? It's because only God can provide the right purpose and meaning to someone's life. Satan's definitely going to spin something for you and give you your own version of what he thinks your purpose should be, but all he's trying to do is lead you into sin. Now we see verse number 6 of Psalms 1 shows you where the ungodly ends up. For the way of righteous knoweth the way, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of ungodly shall perish. They're going to perish. The Bible says that we're all appointed once to die. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11 says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of the force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength while the testator liveth. Drop down to verse number 26. It says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So verse number 27, we all have an appointment with death. There's two things common among everyone in this world. The first thing is that we all have an appointment with death. The second thing can be found in verse number 28. He says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So yes, we all have an appointment with death. The second thing we have in common is that Christ died for all of us that we all may live. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with the hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us from the self the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent for the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we are all dead, and that he died for all, that they should which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know ye no man, we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made to him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God died for us, that all may live. We can nor could save ourselves. No amount of good that you do is going to save you. No other religion will save you. The only way for you not to see the judgment of God is for you to put your trust in God. Christ died so that we may no longer live, that we may no longer live to ourselves, but rather live to Him. If you would turn back to James chapter 1. We'll wrap this up real quick. Going to verse number 22. So we see that we're supposed to be established. We see first step in our establishment, we have to have the emancipation. The second thing is we need to have an endeavor. Verse number 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So step two is endeavor, striving to meet a goal, working too for a cause. So be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So don't come to church just to sit and listen and then mark it off of your to-do list. Let the preaching, the singing, and the testimonies make a difference in your life. Amen. He says, don't deceive yourself. So if you're a lost person who comes to church on a regular basis and you're hearing that you need to be saved, hearing the preaching and conviction is working in your heart, do something about it. Don't deceive yourself and tell yourself that you're okay and that getting saved can wait. Those who are saved, don't deceive yourself. Just because you're going to a church on a regular basis does not mean you're doing what God has for you. God never said He wants His people to sit idle. We should be active within our local church. We should be giving tithe and offering. We should be helping in advance, going on visitation, looking for whatever we can do to help. What happens in God's house should not go in one ear and out the other. What happens in God's house should affect you in your life, in your home. It should build a want to endeavor for the cause of Christ. Verse number 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So what he's saying is, when you're a saved person and you're not responding to what the Lord has for you. You're not growing. So it would be like if I went to a mirror and I saw myself as a baby because I hadn't grown. Lord wants you to get in here and do and grow in Him. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Lord wants you to do that. He's going to bless you in your efforts. He's going to bless you in your endeavor if you work for Him. If any among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, and deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So if you're going around and you're the best of the best Christian, but you're not living for Him truly, you're just having that outward appearance, all you're giving is a religion that's vain. You're not truly living for Christ. It says in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's a challenge right there, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's what the Lord wants from us. He doesn't want us to get into the world. He wants us to be completely separate. He tells us we need to be a peculiar people. So to let God increase is to be established, to be separate, to be someone who wants to work for Him.
There in James, I was looking at that. He was talking about some things to do, and he said to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The word of God, the reason he said it's able is because a lot of people will never let it save them. But the word of God can save you. Amen. It can. It can save you. It can cleanse you. The Bible says we're begotten by the word. We're begotten by the word. And, you know, it's the hearing of faith. It's the hearing of the word of God that we have faith. We have faith in God's word, what God said, his testimony of his son. Amen. Praise the Lord.
As he comes, okay.
Hey, man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Love how the Lord works with messages and preachers when they follow what He has for them, because there's a lot of stuff. Now, Lord gave us two separate messages, but there's a lot in your message. I was back there. I was like, praise God, I didn't mess up. If you've got your Bible, and I hope you do, because you're coming to the house of the Lord to listen to the Word of God, turn to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. I'm going to try to get as much of my notes out as I possibly can because I've got a little bit of them. When you've got your place, I ask you if you could stand up so I know that you've got your place. All right, Exodus chapter number 12, and we're going to start in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you in the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take it of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with the loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon this house where you are, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all your many blessings upon us. I thank you for letting us be able to come into your house to worship you, God. I ask that you please touch me, God. I ask that you please put your hand upon me, Lord. Please let me say everything that needs to be said, nothing more, nothing less, God. I ask that you please work among us, God. Please touch each and every heart in the way that they need, God. I pray that you'll have your will and way in this service, God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can sit down. If you're taking notes, the title I want to put to this message, When I See the Blood. That's what I want to title this message, When I See the Blood. Now notice in verse 13 it says, And the blood shall be for you a token upon the house where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Now the plague that he's talking about is death. It talks about that we read over that. The plague is death. What's a common verse that we all hear? It's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. So basically what it's saying, so if I, let me put it into my terms. If I work for Brother Lee here, so many hours and I'm cutting grass and all, he's going to pay me in money. Hopefully. He's going to pay me. That's my wages. He's going to give me some money. The wages of sin. When you sin, the wage for that sin is death. There's no ifs and or buts about it. That's what it is. The wages of sin is death. So when I sin, the wage for that, what I get in return, is death. Nothing ever good comes from sin. It never has. It never will. Notice in verse number 7, the two side posts. I love this part, man. When I was studying, I about got fired up. I about started making laps in my room when the Lord showed me this. In fact, I about took laps in my truck as I was preaching this message to Caleb coming back from Greenville, South Carolina last week. I just got to, anyway, in verse number 7, it says, And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post, and on the upper door post of the house wherein ye shall eat it. Now, I want to give you a little picture right here. So what it's saying is, when you get the blood, you're going to put it right here, you're going to put it right here, and you're going to put it right here. Say this is the door. You're not going to put it down here. That's where you walk through. That's where your feet go. And let me just tell you, they ain't nothing in this world going to trodden underfoot the blood of the Lamb. Ain't nothing in this world. God's not going to have that. So they put it on the side post and on the side post and on the upper post so that when you walk through, let's just say there's a door right here. When you walk through that door, every bit of that covered by the blood. covered by the blood. Amen. Covered by the blood. When you walk through that door, woo, covered by the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. I hope I marked this, because I'll never find it. I did. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. And it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of..." excuse me, I missed a little bit. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of the remission of sin." Now, if we go back, and everybody in here knows this, everybody was taught the same thing I was regarding this. The lamb back then was used as a remission for sin. The reason Jesus died on the cross was because, you know, we all understand that. But it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." We ain't got that sin no more because of the blood of the Lamb. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm trying to hurry through this so I can hit everything that I got, because Lord gave it to me and I want to give it to y'all. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And verse 18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's what we were just reading back in Exodus, if you remember. Back in Exodus, with a pure lamb, that's what they needed for the two side posts. That's what they needed to get themselves covered by the blood. And we can also see that door as a door of salvation. Stepping through that door, covered by the blood. That's besides the point. Not in my notes. It's on point. It's not in my notes. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Go down to verse 21 right there. "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." That is the only way to salvation right there. Not trusting in it. We hear this all the time. It's not trusting in what mom had, what dad had, what my cousin had over there, what my brother's got, what papa's got, what mama's got, or what my aunts or uncles got. It's what I've got. It's what the Lord gave me that I might believe in him. If I'm believing in something that my relative had, I'm believing in what they've got. I ain't believing in what God's got. But it says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." In Mark chapter 5, if you'll turn over there, that'd be great. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story about a lady. There's a lot of stories about a lot of ladies in this book, but this one is interesting. She had an issue. This woman had an issue. It wasn't just any issue, it was an issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, let me find my place, because I done lost it. Mark chapter 5. This is why I marked everybody else but this one. There we go. All right. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue," this woman had an issue of blood, 12 years, "and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and nothing was bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus..." when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, see that last word in verse 29? What is that? What is that? That's that word we was talking about back in Exodus. That one that the blood of that little lamb healed. That one that the blood was saving everybody who had that blood on the doorpost that they was covered in. That's the same word, I believe. I might be dumb, but I ain't stupid. That's the same word that it used back in Exodus. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out from him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Say, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples get real smart. They say, "Jesus, there's a bunch of people around you. There's going to be people touching you. I mean, there's like 1,000 people here. So what'd you say, like 2,000? There's a bunch of people pressing on you. Of course you're going to feel, of course there's going to be people touching you." He said, "No, someone touched me. Someone went ahead, went out of their way. They wanted to get to me. They wanted to get to me." But one thing that Mark, so there, in all the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, several, they have the same stories, but in each story, there are different words. And in Mark, there's a word that they left out that is pretty significant. That's not taken away any from the Bible, but there is a very significant word that is used in Matthew chapter number 9. If we'll turn over there so we can all see that. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. And it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment." I didn't say the hem back in Mark. But that word is a very significant word. How many in here sews at all? I can't raise my hand because I don't sew. 1, 2, 3, anymore? No. Okay. So I had to look this word up, and the exact, thank the Lord for Google, the exact word or definition for the word hem. The hem is at the end or bottom. She touched the hem of his garment. Now let's get a picture right here. This lady with an issue of blood, she's had it for 12 years. Man, she's gone to everybody. She went to her aunt. She's like, "This issue of blood, man, I'm telling you right now, it won't go away. I've tried everything." She's like, "Go talk to Dr. Smith over there. He'll fix you up. You know, everybody that I've sent over here, he's fixed them right up." She went to him. Didn't work. Dr. Smith sends her to Wilson. Wilson says, "No, I can't fix you. There's nothing I can do. Send you over here." He's like, "Here, let's try this drug, all right? This might fix you, all right? Let's try this." It doesn't work. Nothing that she's doing in this world that everybody's telling her to do, everything in this world that the world is trying to tell her, "Hey, this is going to work for you. This is going to heal with This is going to heal the issue for you, all right? This right here, it worked for me, all right? It worked for a little bit. I still got a little bit of headache, but this right here, it worked for me." It didn't work for her. Her issue was too big. That issue that she had in her blood was too big for everything that the world could give her. She heard about this man called Jesus that was coming into town. She said, "I've heard some good stuff about Jesus. There ain't nothing. I've tried everything. I've tried it all. This and said alcohol. This and said cigarettes. This and said dip. This and said drugs. They ain't nothing that fixed me. I still got the issue that I had. There ain't nothing that fixed me in this world. Let's go see what Jesus has to offer. Let's go see what he's got. It's been 12 years. Why not try him? All right? So she's coming up. Man, she's getting tired. Oh, man. I'm getting tired. That issue of blood was getting to her. That issue was getting to her. It was in her blood. The issue was getting to her. I can see it now. The angel above her, the angel of death, was watching over her. I'm going to get you one more step as she gets to going down. Oh, man. Oh, I'm going down. The issue of blood's too much. She sees Jesus. He's standing right here. He's gone in the crowd, and she's trying to make it through. She says, if I only I could get the hem of his garment, if only I could get the hem. And she gets it. She gets down to her lowest point. She can't get down no farther. That's the, that right there. Y'all see that? That's the hem of my garment. That's the very bottom. She says, I can't get no lower than this. I can't get no lower. She touches it. Whoo! I feel better. Oh my goodness. I feel better. The fountain of my blood has been dried up. The issue is gone. She got to Jesus and the issue was gone. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When she touched his garment, her blood was whole. Her issue of blood was gone. It was gone. In verse 21, she said, For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. That's faith right there. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, said, daughter, be of good comfort. Woo! Woo. Oh my goodness. I could only imagine what she was thinking. When her blood was dried up and she goes, woo, I ain't got the issue no more. And then the Son of God turns around, who touched me? My heart would have gone from my heart down to my feet and back. I wouldn't have just been standing there. No, I did. He said, be of good comfort. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And Jesus came unto the ruler's house and saw minstrels and people making noise. And he goes into a different one. I could preach on that. That has nothing to do with the message. We also see in Matthew chapter 8, one chapter back. I don't know how I'm doing on time. I set a timer, but I didn't start it. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5 through 7. Excuse me, 1 through 7. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt cleanse me, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That right there was faith. That right there is what got him, was his faith that Jesus could heal him of his issue. He had an issue inside of him, and everyone could see it. No one else could see the issue that was inside of that lady. It was in her blood. See? She had things on the inside that no one could see, but it affected her on the outside. This man had stuff on the outside that everyone could see. In fact, he was a castaway. They cast away lepers. He came to Jesus. He said, thou wilt, Lord, if you will. That sounds like the prayer I prayed when I got saved. Lord, if you will, save me from my sins. Save me from the issue that I've got. Save me from the stuff that's on the outside and on the inside. It's affected me both. But Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And number 3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Ooh, that'll preach right there. You could preach a message on that. That's not what I'm preaching. But preach a message on that. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Praise God for when I got saved back in Little River, November 28, 2011, when I asked the Lord, Lord, I know thou can make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I believe that you can. Lord, please take my sins away. praise the Lord, he did, and they haven't been the same since. But Jesus said, you know, he could have left him there and said, you're a leper. Don't come near me. Don't come near me. He didn't really care. In fact, he couldn't have gotten it. His blood was pure. The only way that you could get a disease is if your blood is not pure. It's already got a defect in it. And, you know, we saw that with the recent virus. Everybody got that. You can't tell me one person that didn't get that or a strand of it. Leprosy. Everybody that came in contact with that leper, they got it too. Kind of like sin. Sin passes through all men. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded you for a testimony unto them. Then we'll go down to the next. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Man, I got this servant at home. He's one of the top guys. But he's laying sick. He's about to die. He's about to get out of here. He's got an issue inside of him. He's got an issue. He's sick of the palsy. He's tormented. He's tormented from what he's got. He's tormented from what he has inside of him. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto him, unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And that his servant was healed in the self same hour. Praise the Lord. He didn't have to wait for the Lord to go. He just said the word. He's clean. He didn't have to worry about it. I bet when he got home, he's like, man, you know, old Jim over here is going to be healed. And he walked through that door and Jim's up there and he's like, praise God, the issue is gone. I remember when I got saved. Woo. I remember when I got saved and I told one of the guys in the church, said, you know, I was a little guy, little older than I am now. And I went up to him and, you know, I wasn't embarrassed, but, you know, I was just kind of timid. Hey, Brother White, I got saved. Man, I tell you right now, that man about took a lap around that church, and it wasn't even church time yet. He about took a lap. That's what I think of right here when I read this. I picture Michael White about taking a lap when he heard that the man with palsy, the man, the servant of his, had an issue inside of him, and just with the very words of Christ, said, go that way. The servant, he's clean. He's like, well, all right then. He goes in there and he's praising God. He's like, man, the issue's gone. The issue's gone. I bet they about took a lap around that property. But when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There's a lot more that I could say, but I'm sure my time is about up. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to get up here and read his word in front of lot of people and get as nervous as all get up. But he's blessed me so much, there's nothing else in this world, I believe, that Jesus blessed me so much with in salvation, most of all, and then preaching the gospel. He's blessed me so much, and I thank y'all for listening to me.
I enjoyed the messages tonight, didn't you? I'm not going to add anything to their messages, certainly not. I do appreciate them. I want to read something to you. And this is something you can go home and read. Saved or lost, you can go home and read this in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Remember that chapter, Romans chapter 10. He begins in verse 8. Listen to what he says. But what saith it? He's talking about righteousness, which is by faith. If we're ever saved, we'll receive the righteousness of Christ, which we receive by faith. He's talking about that when he said, what saith it? That righteousness by faith. What saith it? If it could talk, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what these two young preachers brought tonight, glad tidings of good things. Josh was telling a story about a lady that had an issue of blood, 12 years, uncurable. It got as low as a person could get. That's a beautiful story. That's glad tidings of good things. The Lord cured her. But they have not all, look what he said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, he's talking about Isaiah there, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've heard a lot in these messages about, you know, the Word. And when Brother Ben was reading scriptures, there was a lot about the Word. When Josh was reading scriptures, a lot about the Word. And there's a salvation that is available through God's Word. He shows us the way. He makes the way. But there are many things that can hinder that Word. Many things. And an unbelieving heart is one of those things. And I'm not talking about not believing. Everybody in here probably believes that Jesus is the Son of God. But not everybody in here is saved. Just believing that He is the Son of God doesn't make you saved. But when I say unbelief, you know, not believing the Word, you know, not believing all the things that Christ said would happen when He would call to you, when He would give you an invitation to come, when He would draw you to repentance, and that you must repent. You know, if you don't do that, then that's, you're saying, I don't believe I need to. So there are a lot of things. Unbelief is the big thing that will keep you from coming to Christ, coming to His salvation. Don't let Satan trick you or hinder you into coming to Christ exactly the way Christ said for your salvation. You want the real thing. You don't want to go through life, listen, with something that's not real. It's never been more disappointing. I've seen people that had things like antiques and they just thought they had, you know, they were told stories it was real, had papers saying it was real, and then come to find out it really wasn't real. And they were just so disappointed. Well, can you imagine how many are going to find out? And Jesus already made that statement. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And I will say, in essence, it wasn't real. Their salvation wasn't real. Depart from me. I never knew you. So while he plays, I want you to stand.